The cyber attack against the Office of Personnel Management is part of a year-long coordinated effort to steal federal employee and contractor personal data. The Department of Homeland Security issued an alert in May detailing a series of attacks against government and industry. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller's here to explain why you should be more aware of targeted spear phishing attacks than ever before. Jason, thanks for coming on as always. What makes this appear to be part of a broader effort to get federal employee information?
I think there are several efforts. This latest attack really is part of a bigger plan. The U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team, or U.S. CERT, released an analysis report in May detailing 9 incidents between July 2014 and May 2015 where hackers stole what DHS calls bulk PII, personal identifiable information, from public and private sector organizations. U.S. CERT wrote in the report, and I'm quoting here, Francis, "The cyber threat actors involved in each of these incidents demonstrated a well-planned attack and high level of sophistication." What have we heard so far about this OPM attack?
Yep.
Well-planned, high level. Mm-hmm. Those are the words we've heard. While U.S. CERT does not go into detail about this incident in terms of what they are, who they're from, if you look through them, 2 of the first 3 that they list involved government personnel data. In fact, one of the incidents says U.S. CERT responded to an incident where PII data belonging to hundreds of thousands of government personnel was compromised. Now, Chris Finan is the CEO of Manifold Security and a former White House and Defense Department cyber official. He says the similarities among recent hacks is clear.
All the evidence suggests that this was the same group or an affiliated group to the perpetrators of the Anthem and the Premier Blue Cross intrusions earlier this year. And what was really interesting about those data breaches was that the data never showed up. You know, they stole a ton of records. I think for Anthem, it was like 80 million customer SSNs. And for Premier, it was even more detailed account information, I think for 11 million people. None of that identity information ever showed up on the black market, you know, criminal websites. And so the theory is that it was stolen for, you know, cyber espionage purposes, not cyber criminal purposes. And so it's interesting that we're seeing some of the same IP addresses, some of the same, you know, hacking tools used in the OPM breach. And so, you know, the MO may indeed be espionage.
Now, Finan says they'll be telling to see if this data from these 4 million federal and current and former federal officials shows up on the PII black market. You didn't think we'd ever be talking about the black market on your show.
I never expected it, but I'm not surprised after what we've learned in the last 24 hours, Jason.
Now, I also caught up with a government IT official who requested anonymity, and they say the espionage theory is one that doesn't get a lot of attention, but really should. The official says they see targeted spear phishing attacks at their agency where the email looks legitimate but includes a link or document that is infected with malware. And once federal employees opens that link or document up, the attacker is in the network. The source says it looks like the Chinese or whomever is gathering very detailed information about employees, combining it with the security clearance data that was stolen from USIS, Keypoint, and others over the last year. And now this person says they have a gold mine of data that they can email or call you and figure out how to get into government networks. I also caught up with Mark Weatherford, a former deputy undersecretary for cybersecurity at DHS. He's now a principal at the Chertoff Group. He says, unlike private sector data, federal employee data brings with it additional reasons to be nervous.
The one thing that is a bit concerning is, you know, when you think about the government employees that have security clearances and access to sensitive information, having certain kinds of this information can make them, you know, more susceptible perhaps to blackmail and extortion and things like that. So that, you know, that's one of the concerns I think that is a little bit higher for government employees.
Now, this also begs the question, if those concerns of that it's a little bit higher for government employees, why wasn't this data encrypted at rest? Or if it was, why were the hackers able to break the encryption? Both Finan and Weatherford expressed concern that OPM's data was not encrypted. Now, we don't know for sure if it was or wasn't, but Finan says based on the reports he's seen, the hackers got into the system or on a survey, broke through the server's required authentication, and then was able to pull the data off in batches. And that is a sign to him that this data was not encrypted. Weatherford adds that organizations like OPM, that have the crown jewels, which is personnel data, that really the security bar should be higher.
If this has been going on for almost a year, what's somebody doing about it? What's DHS doing about it?
I think we can assume, based on the U.S. CERT report, that DHS knew about the attack against OPM, that it was happening. So about 2 weeks ago, I have learned exclusively that DHS Secretary Jay Johnson issued his first operational binding directive, an OBD, if you're keeping score in the acronym world. And this is specifically to civilian agencies. The OBD requires agencies to mitigate all critical vulnerabilities on their networks and systems within 30 days or justify to DHS why they can't be mitigated. Now, two sources confirmed the directive was sent to agencies in the last couple weeks. And in fact, right before I came on the air, Francis, DHS just responded about the operational binding directive and confirmed, yet they didn't provide us a copy. Now, Sai Lee, a DHS spokesperson, says in an email that given the current level of risk to federal systems, Secretary Johnson issued this binding operational directive on May 21st, and all federal civilian agencies are directed to mitigate those most critical vulnerabilities on internet-facing systems within 30 days. Lee says if agencies cannot mitigate this particular risk, they should work with DHS cybersecurity efforts to develop an approach to reduce the agency's risk. Now, this is all part of this effort. Two sources tell me that are very similar to what DHS did with their memorandums of agreements to let them scan networks in the aftermath of the Heartbleed or Jazzbug viruses that we've talked a lot about in over the last year. The source calls this operational binding directive a big deal. It's going to require far more coordination with the agency among technology and mission areas. And the source says DHS has basically said from here on out, if something is cyber critical, this pretty much trumps everything else the agency does, and you need to move out upon it immediately. A second source says to me that the definition of critical vulnerability is based on the National Vulnerability Database, which defines critical as anything with a rating of a 10, of course, on a scale of 1 to 10. The source says there are probably hundreds of these critical vulnerabilities across the government. Now, just as a reminder, this operational binding directive, DHS got the authority to issue them from the Federal Information Security Management Modernization Act that Congress passed, the president signed into law just in 2014.
So a lot of this stuff is technology-based, and the folks who do technology at very high levels in the government understand all of this. If I'm just a rank-and-file employee walking around, and I suspect that my information is among this group, or I find out on Monday when OPM starts to email people that my information is included in this batch of information, what do I do? How do I protect myself moving forward if my personal data is just out there?
Right. You mentioned those letters are going out Monday. That's the first thing. If you get a letter, sign up for those credit monitoring right away, or do whatever you need to do to get that 18 months of identity theft protection. Now, Weatherford said he's likely to be one of those 4 million affected by the breach, and he recommends taking several other steps.
Certainly, you know, monitoring your credit, monitoring your personal information is really important. You have to do that. I mean, that's kind of like jacks are better to open in this game. And again, you know, I even find myself in the throes of breach fatigue. Sometimes I'm like, oh, great. Now I've got to go get a new credit card, or I've got to change some of my auto pay features. And so it is a problem, I think, you know, but, you know, some of the things that that people should be doing is certainly paying attention. Make sure that your banks are monitoring, you know, any kind of transactions that may be unusual and places that you're not aware of, and new accounts being set up that you're not aware of, things like that.
Now, Weatherford said OPM also should move more quickly to implement tools such as the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program and the Einstein Program, though it's unclear whether these tools would have stopped the data theft, but OPM may have known it was happening sooner. Another source tells me agencies will need to improve their workforce training. This person says federal employees need to be extra careful about clicking on links or opening documents and emails that are considered targeting phishing attacks, or you're going to come fast and furious. In fact, Finan says the troves of data stolen over the past 9 months can create a targeted phishing attack that may be very hard to recognize.
As a former government employee, I feel pretty confident saying, you know, the one email that I'm probably always going to open is the one from OPM about my pay and benefits. And that's really disturbing, you know, as they now hold the keys to be able to craft those emails really well to make them seem convincing. And all it takes is one person to click on a message like that, and all of a sudden, you know, these hackers have access to government systems.
Now, Finan says he expects agencies to increase training on how to recognize these targeted spear phishing attacks. And, you know, this is basically, you have to look at the email. You really have to look at misspellings or requests that don't make sense, such as someone sending you a joke or a video that's never sent you one before, or wishing you a happy birthday that you never even told them what your birthday was. Got to be clear. I mean, this is very important.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller, and we have the latest on the OPM breach at federalnewsradio.com, and we will continue to update federalnewsradio.com all throughout the weekend and into next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.